Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome again to The Art of Negotiating Salary, Resources, and More. This is an interactive webinar. I want to walk you through some key definitions, frameworks, best practices, and I want to give you an experience. So I want you to get prepared. If you have a burning question, of course, I will be answering your questions at the end as well. We will also have Q&A. This will go fast. I have a lot to share. Again, my name is Jamie Lee. I'm an executive coach. I specialize in helping smart folks who hate office politics get promoted and better paid without throwing anyone under the bus. And I do this by combining neuroplasticity tools. Our brains are plastic throughout our lives, no matter how young, old you are, right? And so we leverage the plasticity of the brain to help you become more resourceful, more confident, more calm, more grounded as you make requests, as you say the things that you need to say to grow, expand in your career. I have a lot to share. This is going to go quickly. If you want to take screen snapshots, that's awesome. Everyone will also get the replay. So don't worry too much about taking notes. I would rather have you focus on experiencing what I have to share. So I would invite you to turn off the notifications, put the phone away. If you're not watching this on your phone, maybe put your email on silent for a while, for an hour, right? And what else do I want to say? Okay, here's what you're going to expect. I'm going to walk you through some high-level frameworks, best practices. I want to give you an experience. There will be a Q&A. And, you know, folks who attend webinars like this, y'all are smart. You know, you're smart. You like to learn. And sometimes when you're smart and when you like to learn, sometimes like you can kind of fall into this trap of like, yeah, that's nice. I'll do that later. Or you're like, how do I know this is going to work for me? Yeah. How will I know this is going to work for me? Because that's something I would ask myself if I attended a webinar like this. Like, is this going to work for me? How would I know? So here's how you would know this is for you. This is for you if you are an overachiever. You're an overachiever who loves to get stuff done. And I specialize in helping, especially women overachievers, overcome this dilemma, the dilemma of over-delivering, over-committing, overthinking things, right? Over-accommodating other people, not saying no, because we like getting things done. We like being busy. We like knowing that we're accomplished, right? But then there's the other side of this dilemma where because we're so focused on over-delivering, over-committing, and overthinking, we under-communicate our wants and our wins, which result, and as you can see at the bottom, sometimes you're under-promoted, sometimes you're underpaid, sometimes you find out that that person over there who you know is an underachiever whose quality of work is not as high as yours, they're getting promoted. They're getting better paid faster than you are. And of course, that's frustrating. Of course, that's like, gosh darn it. Yeah. And that could result in what I call the blame shame game. We are conditioned to associate our external accomplishments with our sense of self-worth. And that's something, you know, to really question, right? But, you know, let's just acknowledge that when you are an overachiever, so much of your identity, so much feeling of good feeling about who you are is derived on where you are in your career. And of course, we can't help but compare. And then when we compare, we end up blaming ourselves. Sometimes we blame other people and then we feel embarrassed. We feel ashamed, even though we are over-delivering, sometimes over-committing, and sometimes really thinking things through. And so we want to ask the question, why does this happen? Yeah. And this happens for many. And I want to give you the one key reason that this happens. But for now, we want to get curious about what is this thing called negotiation? Why do so many of us get tied up in knots, anxious, feeling stuck, like we can't negotiate for what we want in our careers? What is it anyways? Here's my definition. is just a conversation. Negotiation is a conversation with the intention to reach agreement where every party has the right to say no. And when you know every party has the right to say no, the first thing that comes to my mind is that there is safety there. It's like, I get to say no? Okay, there's some space for safety and autonomy. And it's just the conversation. When you think about it, when was the last time I engaged in a conversation with the intention of getting to an agreement, but everyone got to say no? I'm like, oh, wait, it's every day. Every day of my life, ever since I was old enough to say no. When I was 1.5, when I was 2 years old, right? And think about that, because I know mothers and parents, fathers, like who have a toddler who has 1 or 2 year old, and they're like, yeah, my kid is the toughest negotiator. I've seen so many parents say that. Why? It's because they're like exuberant with this. Oh, I have a right to say, I can say no. Yeah. And so I want to question and I want to challenge this misconception that some people are good at negotiating and some people are not. And so this is something that we see in American culture often. Men, you know, masculine, aggressive men are great negotiators and women are not so much. I mean, that is such a misconception because we're misunderstanding what negotiation is in the first place. You who is here, you who are watching this, you have engaged in countless, millions, thousands of conversations with the intention of reaching agreement. Shall we go to dinner? Shall we go there for vacation? May I have that seat? Right? From that to, can I ask for a raise? I mean, these are all conversations with the intention of reaching agreement, and people have the right to say no. In other words, there was safety, there was autonomy. And here's the thing to know about what you have. Every time you engage in conversation and people are talking to you, and what you have and what you get to do in this conversation. And in fact, before I move any further, if you know you have any like worries or hangups about, oh, I don't know how to negotiate for myself, just call it a conversation, right? We're just engaging in a conversation. And here's what you have and here's what you get to do. Ready for this? Super simple. If they're talking to you, you have leverage. If they're talking to you, it means you have something they want. Okay. And here's something that you're going to do. You're going to make requests. You're going to make requests, not a demand or a threat. And for me, I don't know about you, but for me, when I think about I am making a request, you know, it gives me a sense of like, yeah, there is a sense of like this power, this authority, like I get to make request. And there's a sense of being grounded in my personal power. I can make a request. I don't need to make demands. I don't need to make threats. I don't need to play a game of gamesmanship. No, everyone has the right to say no. But I know that if I make specific, actionable, measurable requests, I'm more like to get what I want. And when I make requests, it's an act of owning my responsibility for my own satisfaction. It's an act of owning my own self-leadership, right? Yeah. And it's also like opening myself up to bigger possibility. I can make requests and it's great if they say yes or something, you know, something else. And if they say no, that's okay. That's not the end of my life. That is not a detriment to who I am because I know I can always make more requests. Make requests in your dating life. Make requests in your personal life. Make requests in your professional life. What would happen if you were 10%, 20% more willing to make requests? Consider that. But then again, then why do overachievers have this dilemma? Why are they overcommitting, over-delivering, overperforming, and under-communicating their wants and their wins? Why are they not making sufficient requests. Here's a dead simple reason that I have observed in my 10 plus years of helping smart professionals negotiate, advocate for what they want. Here's what I've noticed. 90% of negotiation challenges are perception problems. 10% is just math, right? Sometimes you got to do the math, make sure it all adds up. But 90% of the time when you are feeling stuck about how you see yourself in that negotiation, if you're feeling stuck about negotiating with your counterpart, whether that is a potential employer, your current employer, client, or whoever, with your colleague, whoever, when you're feeling kind of stuck about the process, if you're feeling kind of or disappointed about the outcome, that's a perception problem. What do I mean by this? We all have filters. I literally wear glasses, as you can see. And this morning I got up and my glasses were smudgy. And I still went out for my morning walk and I just noticed as I'm walking around and looking at the spring flowers, everything's just slightly fuzzy. Things are just not as clear as they can be because my glasses, the filter through which I literally perceive the world, are not clear. So here's a very simple drawing that ChatGPT made, but you ask ChatGPT to make simple drawings and the drawings don't look so weird. You know how when you ask AI to make you drawings, you're like, ooh, that's so weird. This is just a simple drawing. And the glasses are opaque, so you can hardly see the eyes. You just see the pupils, right? It's a little strange. And we all have filters. If you are a human being, we all have perception filters. And yes, sometimes you call them biases. Sometimes you call them cognitive biases or unconscious biases. But the fact of the matter is, we all have them. We all have them. And so let me give you some specific examples of how these perception problems show up when you are negotiating your salary or for resources, for a pay raise, for a promotion. Let me show you. Oh, wait, okay. Sorry, forgot. I'm going to get to that. But first, we want to define what is a perception? What the heck is this perception? This is not a philosophy class. I took modern philosophy when I was a student. I was like, huh? What? The Descartes, and like, how you perceive, you think, therefore you are. But here's how I define it. Very simply, perceptions are a result of habits of the mind. Right? We all have to create shortcuts in our brain in order for us to be able to quickly assess the situation. Our brains are intending to keep us alive. And therefore, it's always going to be looking for shortcuts. It's always going to be looking for what's the pattern and how can I, you know, reiterate that pattern so I can be most efficient in keeping this human body alive. Yeah. So habits of the mind is something that is very neutral. It's not good or bad. It's actually key for your survival. But perceptions become filtered through the habits or the habituated pattern of your mind. And so these are some questions I want to ask you. When you think about your habits, like we're going to use the mind to think about the mind, how do you typically relate to authority, whether that is external authority or the authority that you have in your own life, in your career, as a manager, as a leader, as an executive, right? How do you typically relate to money or resources? Have you been conditioned to believe that money is always running out? Or have you been conditioned to believe that you know, more money is good? Or have you been conditioned to believe that you should do without so much money, or that having so much money is somehow morally, you know, substandard? It's like you're not a good person if you have so much money. You know, some people have these limiting beliefs? And also, how do you typically relate when you speak up for what you want, when you speak up for your own accomplishments as if you are your own best champion? How do you typically relate to that? How do you typically relate to decision making? Because ultimately, negotiation is a way to arrive at decisions, whether you say, you go, or you do something else as a result of this negotiation conversation. And here is a pattern, the recycle symbol. Here's a pattern I have often seen in my clients. I have often seen in overachievers. I've observed this in myself. Sometimes when we have habituated patterns of avoiding conflict, or perceiving that if you have to stand in your authority, ask for more money, advocate for yourself, or make a firm decision, that somehow it's something that you need to avoid, right? You end up falling into this unhappy triangle, avoiding conversations, accommodating other people, not saying no, saying yes when really you don't want to say yes. And then as a result, the resentment, the anger boils and bubbles up, and you end up attacking. Sometimes you attack the other side and you point your finger and you get mad at them and you call them names, or you attack yourself. This is something that I've seen quite often when an overachiever also has perfectionism. Right? We're like, oh, I didn't do that good enough. Oh, I could have done that better. Or because you're anticipating self-attack, you're going to beat yourself up. You do this unconsciously, therefore you avoid. And then now we're stuck in this unhappy triangle, right? Avoiding, accommodating, attacking. And sometimes, you know, you think, I shouldn't have to speak for myself. I shouldn't have to do that because my work should speak for itself. And we all know work does not have a mouth. Work does not speak. That's another way you end up feeling stuck in this unhappy cycle of avoiding conversations, accommodating out of fear of rejection or just out of that avoidance. And then as a result, attacking either yourself, your partner, or maybe going home and getting mad at people who can't fight back. Yeah. And so we want to help you get out of this. Okay. But again, as I said earlier, I want to give you some concrete examples of how these habituated patterns show up in negotiations. Here are common perception problems I have helped my clients with. The first one is actually, it's about me. When I was starting out, very early in my career, more than a decade ago, I started out as a hedge fund analyst, a junior analyst at a hedge fund. And I knew nothing about hedge funds. I didn't research. I didn't look up benchmarks. Of course, we didn't have these AI tools and ChatGPT. And I don't think PayScale existed back then, a decade ago. But I could have engaged in an informal conversations with my alumni network, with other people, with, you know, relatives, with friends and contacts, mentors, advisors about, hey, I'm going to go work for this hedge fund. Do you have any idea how much they pay their junior analysts? You know, I could have done that, right? And in fact, I have a whole podcast. My podcast is called Negotiate Your Career Growth. And I'm going to put the URL right here in the chat. And I have a podcast. It's like, you know, do's and don'ts of seller negotiation. It's all about the mistakes that I made very early in my career, but very instructional, right? And that was because I had a perception problem. I could not see the wider perspective of what's possible if I were willing to engage in informal conversations. It is completely legal and safe for you to have conversations about salary with your colleagues, with your friends. You know, it's totally legal. It's okay. It's encouraged. It will help you make more money when you find out that, you know, your friend, so who works in this industry that's very much you know, adjacent to yours and they're making, you know, $50,000 more. And you're like, oh, that's possible. If that's possible for them, that's possible for me too. Yeah. Okay. Other perception problems. You don't decide on a competitive number based on research, right? 10% is math. So yes, do your research, do benchmark research. There's so many resources available online. That's why I'm not going to list them because we all know how to Google, but do some research, look around, ask around, and then you decide. Right? That is a perception problem because if you don't perceive yourself to be in authority, to be the CEO of your own career, then you might just wait for somebody else to decide for you. And they will always decide on something that is lower than what you want. And so because you don't decide, because you have this blind spot, this perception problem, you don't give your desired salary. And I know this is this strange advice that is too common online. Like there are these people who say, don't ever give the first number, because if you do, then you might lose out or you might lose your leverage. And we forget, again, perception problem, because you're not perceiving correctly what your true leverage is. Your true leverage is not this number. Your true leverage is your future contributions, which are multiples bigger than your desired salary. Now, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to ask for $500,000 when your job is a $150,000 job. That's not what I'm saying. Every salary is a portion of the true value of your future contribution. That is just how it works. That's just supply and demand market economics. Yeah. And we don't fully assess or appreciate the true leverage that we're bringing to every negotiation because we're so busy with this blind spot worrying about, oh my God, what if they say no? Yeah. So when you are grounded in the value, when you have the confidence, right, that is firm, that is strong, grounded in you, when you know, yes, I'm going to be able to hit the ground running. And I know that, you know, when the conditions are right, I can add value. I can be productive. I can be effective in my role. That is your leverage, not withholding your desired salary. And again, perception problem, when you see the other side, and the other side, let's say, is your employer, current or potential, and you see them as like family. Oh, they're going to take care of me. Not. No, they're not obligated to take care of you. You're in a contractual relationship where you provide services in exchange for money, right? Or you see them as an enemy. You see them as, oh my God, they're so bad. You see them as opponents. Right? And that creates a perception problem because now you're not able to show up as a peer, as a partner in this conversation. And I think this is a really key thing to keep in mind if you are in a position to negotiate for bigger roles, for promotions, for leadership. Right. This is a perception problem that I help my clients with very often so that they can bring the confidence of the person who's growing, who is evolving. I had one client who started out with me last year. She works in finance, extremely good at what she does, overachiever. And yet every time she had to engage the C-suite, she would freeze up. That is a perception problem. That's a habit of the mind. And so we unwound this perception problem so that she was able to really believe, embody, and show up to C-suite conversations as a peer. Okay, somebody's raising their hand. I will get to you. And as a result, she was able to negotiate for a promotion, feeling very grounded, confident. Other problems. This is something that I just heard recently, and it shocked me. A person came to me and she said that another negotiation coach told her to negotiate for a pay raise with this phrase. The negotiation, not me, this other coach told this person to say, In order for me to be motivated in this role, I would need a 20% pay raise. That is a veiled threat. That is saying, if you don't pay me, I'm not going to be motivated. I'm not going to be a good employee. So don't do that. Remember, request and showing up as a peer. Something better could have been, hey, these are the contributions. These are my accomplishments. And I'm confident we can continue to work together to bring more value. And I would like to be considered for a pay raise. And how can we have a conversation about that? That's a better approach. If you want more scripts like that, come to my podcast. You could also come to my website. I have scripts that you can download. Okay. And don't make it personal, right? Everyone here is an overachiever. So I know it's kind of like obvious, but sometimes we make that very obvious mistake when we're having a perception problem. When you feel that the negotiation, whether the process, the potential outcome, and what you make it mean, and you're like this close to it, so that it becomes a blind spot and you cannot see a wider perspective. You cannot have objectivity in the negotiation. You end up unintentionally overestimating their power, their leverage, underestimating you and your true leverage. Now, notice this is both a metaphor, but this is also exactly how your brain sees this problem, right? When you think about, oh, I want to ask for a pay raise, or I want to, you know, negotiate my salary. And then you're like, and it's like, it feels like it's right here. Yeah. And therefore, I want to give you an experience of dissolving this perception problem. Okay. We have an opportunity here to practice this together. I would like somebody to volunteer. Now, if what you've been hearing has been resonating with you, and I don't know if that's Doreen, I don't know if that's you, if you would like some support, let's say you have a concrete, measurable, specific ask that you want to make, whether that is a salary negotiation, whatever, and you want to be able to objectively, and I'm saying that really kind of strange, objectively, right? You want to be able to objectively rehearse, right? How you engage in that conversation, how you move through impasse. Okay, somebody has raised their hand. Okay. So, Joreen, if you have a question, I'm going to ask you to put your hand out and put it in the chat. Excellent. And I will get to your question for sure. Okay, Sumi, I'm Sumi. My sister's name is also Sumi. Okay. Oh, okay, no problem. Joreen says that was a misclick. Okay, Sumi, I'm going to promote you to panelists. You don't. Okay, somebody else raised their hand. All right, I'm going to promote you to panelists. I'm going to volunteer you to do a demo with me, okay? I'm going to assume your hand being raised is consent to that. I'm going to promote you to panelists. I'm going to stop share for a moment. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, am I saying your name correct? Is it Sumi?
Yes, Sumi.
Excellent. Yeah, that's my sister's name too. You know, she's Korean and
hey.
Her name is you. How fun is that? Okay. So I would like to give you a demo of this tool that my clients have found very effective in helping them be more prepared, confident, and calm ahead of a conversation, a high stakes conversation. Would that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm curious, right now, when you think about that conversation that you are prepping to have, like what comes, like how does that feel?
So I had half the conversation. I need to have the other half based on the response. So it's kind of in between. So this is actually really timely. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So you already initiated the conversation. Amazing. Yeah. And we don't have to go into too much detail, but at high level, what kind of feedback did you receive?
So I worked as a contractor, as a consultant for this company, and then they made me I started working as an employee, but only 20 hours a week. Okay. And the work expanded to about 30 hours of very high level consulting work.
Nice.
And I did that for 6 months. But as the volume went up, I had already sent a feeler. I listened to your podcast and I kind of made the request. I'd like to meet with you, the decision maker, and let's just discuss this change in workload and try to bring value to, you know, what I was doing. So met with them about a month and a half or maybe 2 months ago. So I met first in November. I sent an email in November. They said, can we meet in Jan? Because that's kind of the budget season, Jan, Feb. Mm-hmm. So met in Feb, made a case, and he kind of came back with a really lowball number. So I was like, let me just send you some data about why I'm making my request, and sent back data about national numbers and all of that. And then he followed up with something that was still lower.
Okay.
And wanted to start doing that in May when the work already had started last October, the high ramp level work. So when we had the conversation, I said, I hope whatever we discuss is going to be retroactive, because we had this conversation in November. You deferred the meeting to Feb. When we met in Feb, you said anything would be retroactive. However, I don't see that. He came back with saying, we can give you a spot bonus of X number of dollars to make up for the retro work, which was not on par. So that's kind of where we are, where the total ask is probably 30% of my ask, 30 to 40%, which is not okay. And the retro is also not okay. And it's a really lovely person. I know I can continue to have conversations. Mm-hmm. But my hesitancy is I don't want to appear grabby, which is, I know it's my thing. And I am convinced. I made the case. He agrees. I bring a lot of value. I don't know how much this back and forth should keep going. I mean, to me, even the first ask was challenging, but I did it.
Mm-hmm.
The second pushback was hard. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how much do you haggle? I mean, this is crazy. That's kind of where I am right now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's find out. Let's find out what would make the most sense for you. Okay. So as I was saying, sometimes we feel stuck. Sometimes we have this like worry, I don't want to appear grabby, because we have a perception, a story about what that means or what that means about us. Right. And so my intention is to help you create space from that, because when you have space from it, then you could objectively assess what is the best next step for you. Does that sound for you? Okay, excellent. So I'm going to ask you to shift your seat maybe like 45 degrees away from me. Okay. And now I'm going to ask you to pick a spot in the room that's pleasant to look at. And the reason I'm asking you to do this is because we're social animals, we like to focus on faces, right? So just pick a spot that's pleasant to look at. Keep your eyes on that spot. And now just take a deep breath, exhaling, and simply diffuse or soften your focus without moving your eyes. Shift your awareness to the periphery of your vision. So maybe you become aware of the wall to your left and right, even though you haven't moved your eyes. And now simply imagine that you can extend that awareness maybe beyond those walls, maybe beyond the space you're in, maybe beyond the house or the building you're in. So much so, you start to feel the energy of the space behind you. And what my clients often tell me when I ask them to do this is they start noticing other sensory perceptions, like the ambient noise in the room, temperature in the room. They start noticing, they just get a little bit calmer. And I'm curious, what are you noticing now?
I was anxious or nervous talking to you and getting on the call, but that kind of went down.
Yeah.
Just relaxed. Like, I wasn't so in my head. I mean, I just wasn't. The intensity, like you said, the intensity of whatever it was, whether it was, you know, being on the panel talking to you or the issue, it just kind of
felt
more spacey. Yeah, just a little bit more breathing space.
You're doing great. So I'm going to ask you to keep your focus on that spot Like, bring your focus one more time there. Feel what it's like to be relaxed. And as you feel that relaxation, now I'm going to ask you to imagine another sumi ahead of you, between you and that spot. And see that version of you that is negotiating this agreement. And then see, are you able to, does that make sense? Excellent, you're doing great. So now see that version of you over there, and just imagine there's a plexiglass that is keeping you completely safe and protected. So you can see, you can hear, you can observe everything, but you're completely safe. And now as you see that other sumi engaged in that negotiation, see her assessing what she is hearing, assessing the words of your counterpart, and see her see it from a distance. Maybe she sees the words like on a wall. Maybe she hears the words. She hears the words from a distance. So that there is some distance between that version of you and what she's receiving. Yeah? Hmm. And notice what that's like. And as you notice that, see that version of you assessing. Maybe she makes a mental picture of what is being offered. Maybe she makes a movie that helps her assess with more curiosity. And maybe she makes a mental picture and she compares what she had expected with that other mental picture of what is actually being offered. And what do you notice as she does that?
Oddly enough, I feel more confident this side, and I think she is actually responding to that conversation and might be shying away when she doesn't hear what she wants.
Yeah. Okay. So we're playing with imagination, and the imagination is limitless. And so as you feel confident over here, I'm going to ask you, just imagine that you can beam some confidence right through that plexiglass. Maybe like imagine it's like, you know, a beam of light, and maybe that light has a color that feels like confidence to you, and see her receiving, completely bathed and covered, completely lit up by that beam of confidence. Yeah. Notice, does she shift? Does she become a little bit lighter? Does she become a little bit stronger?
She's sitting up straighter, I think.
So yes. Yes. Yeah. See her sit up a little bit straighter, and then see her maybe making a decision about how she wants to respond. Does she want to respond with clarifying questions? Does she want to respond, you know, with reiterating? Does she want to just, I don't know, say, you know what? If, you know, maybe I'll look elsewhere. What does she want to do?
I think she just wants to say, this is an interesting approach. Let me think about it and get back to you. I think that'll give some space, but also take control of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And so see that you say that, and, you know, we're just going to mentally rehearse her having that conversation, saying that, and like seeing that back and forth. Like, she's mentally engaged in the rehearsal of what the conversation can go, how the conversation can go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you notice when you see that?
I think if I came back with that, it might put the onus on the other person also, that, oh, she's not necessarily, I mean, she's going to think about it. So what more can I give her?
Mm.
Or what information can I give her that she can think about it positively? So, I mean, I think it shifts a little bit of responsibility on the other person.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent, excellent. And so now as you see that you over there, right, as you see her, and now let's run through some scenarios. Let's run through the scenario of she gives herself that time, right? And she indicates, yeah, I'm not going to immediately say yes to something that's not something I want. Right? And see her maybe you know, making a future decision. Should this person not decide to increase the offer, see her again, assess that from a distance. Like looking at the facts of the offer, maybe she sees it on a wall at arm's length, right? And then she makes a mental picture of whether this is something she wants or not. Yeah. Yes. And as you nod your head, what do you notice about that?
I notice that I think that scarcity factor or the not being appreciated or the being treated kind of oddly is gone. It just feels like it's my decision. They get to do what they want to do, but I also get to do that. I don't feel quite so in their decision-making control. Like I'm not at the effect of them. I just feel at the effect of me a little bit. Even though overall the offer is what it is, I think the way I have shifted may actually make me come across more confidently in a way which might actually get me what I want.
Yeah. And here's something that I do know about people who create opportunities like this. You know, this is a skill. This is a quality that you bring here and elsewhere. Because that's who you are. You get things done. You add value, right? And sometimes you get to decide for yourself from a place of confidence, oh, if I'm not being appreciated here, then I can take back my time, right? Intentionally to find out where I will be appreciated, where I'm better appreciated. Like I always want to go to places where I'll be celebrated. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. What's here for you now?
Let's say that again, sorry.
I'm just curious, what's coming up for you now?
It's just that I actually have more choice than I thought I did.
Yes, you do. You absolutely, yeah. Right. That is the perception change, yeah. Right? You're like, when you create that distance, you're like, oh, I have more choice. I have more confidence. So as you see that you have more choice, I want you to think back on the last response from this person one more time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you notice?
To me, it's an offer. I think that irritation about this is haggling because it's gone back 2 or 3 times. That's gone. I'm just kind of saying, well, we'll just have another round, or maybe it's not yet, or maybe I'll walk away. I mean, it's just not, it doesn't feel so personal.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like an attack on my value. It just feels like maybe that's the best they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask. And if this is the best, or is it a no, or is it a not yet? Is there a timeline when they can match? I mean, it feels like a little more.
Yeah. And sometimes
haggling, it feels like unpacking, if that makes sense. It's a different word that I'm substituting.
Yes. And when you are choiceful, you also know that like what's coming up for me is sometimes you find out, okay, we've had the back and forth. Sometimes you find out, okay, it's not negotiable. Yeah. Then I know to go make decisions or refocus or redirect my attention elsewhere. And that's also, you know, bringing your power back. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for volunteering for this demo. All right. I am going to figure out how to put you back as a panelist. there is a way to do this. How do I do? Okay. Here is the button. Okay. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the slides. So that was the demo. And as you can see in this picture, what I helped her do is create this objectivity by helping her see a version of her from a distance. As you can see, they're two of the same people, right? And so I want to encourage you to also practice seeing your negotiation, yourself, your process, your counterpart from this objective with distance. And then you can mentally rehearse making the request again if you want to, getting pushback if you do, and responding with clarifying questions for them and also for you. Do I want to continue? Is this where I think I would be appreciated? Is this a deal I want to accept? Right? because your decision-making is also your point of power. So art of negotiating is art. And what is art? Art is practice. You want to practice regularly, as often as you can, taking stock of your wins, your accomplishments, as well as your future potential, right? Because you want to think objectively about what you have done and think broadly about what future things you can do, right? If you've gotten one offer, you can get another offer. If you've done well in this one job, you can do well in another job. You want to practice making specific and actionable requests in daily and professional life. You want to practice imagining yourself with more resources, right? In that demo, I asked the volunteer to simply imagine that you can send resources to another version of you. You can do that too. Or you just imagine yourself making more money, having more resources, having more confidence, having more groundedness. Our brains don't know the difference between what is imagined and what is real. And this is a little trippy, but neuroscientists have also found out that memory is reconstructed, right? We think memory is static. It is not. It is rebuilt. In other words, it is reimagined. So if you're reimagining the past, you could also imagine a future. You want to practice engaging with decision makers, increasing your visibility, right? This is a result of all of these other, the bullet points that came ahead of it, right? When you willingly engage with people who can make the decision, whether you get promoted, whether you get better paid, you increase your visibility. And more visible you are, they also have they're more likely to think of you and remember you and reward you, right? We do know that our brains like familiarity. And also practice taking the lead in career conversations early and often. If getting promoted, getting better paid, or, you know, just expanding in your career is something you want, think about how you can initiate those conversations ahead of budget making, ahead of the formal conversations. Do not wait until the performance evaluation. So I think that's something that our demo volunteer did really well. She initiated, even though they dragged their feet, she let them know this is what I want, and she started the conversation months ahead. And that's kudos to her. And sometimes executives, decision makers, C-suite people, they're very busy. And sometimes you need to reiterate, you need to repeat advocating for what you want again and again and again. So these are the practices that I help my clients implement in my own coaching practice. And so if you would like to dive deeper with me, I invite you to either scan this QR code or simply type this into your browser, jamieleecoach.com/apply. And there you would read all of the details about my coaching process and philosophy. You'll notice this volunteer, she was able to shift to a more resourceful state, a more calm and confident place in about 15 minutes. So imagine what's going to be possible for you when you have those resources with you to make decisions, to speak up, to engage, to advocate, to influence, to negotiate. Yeah. And I want to help my clients create lasting change in their career. Sometimes I have clients who write me. I mean, this happened actually today. I worked with a client 3 years ago, and she told me, the work that we did together, it made a lasting impact. I know that I would not be where I am as, the manager of this organization. I got married, had a kid, and got a bigger job. I would not have been able to do that without your support. So if you'd like more support, scan this code, type that into your browser, and here's what happens on a consultation. You get confidential one-on-one space with me for a full hour. I'm going to ask you questions to explore the results you want. Sometimes, you know, clients, they just want to be able to feel more like they have agency, that they have choices, and so that they can make decisions they like. Sometimes they're in a place where they're feeling so frustrated, burnt out. They're like, I just want to be able to feel like I have some neutral space, some safe space from whatever is happening at work, so that I can decide for me how I would thrive. And sometimes clients are like, I just started this new job. I'm in a new role. I got promoted to leadership. And I want to make sure like I'm supported to do this really well. And sometimes clients are like, I want to negotiate. I want to negotiate for something bigger and better. Help me. Yeah. And in this consultation, yes, you'll get a taste of what it's like to work with me one-on-one. Absolutely. And I also walk you through step by step how you can create your desired result. I will give you the tools and the processes I offer my paying clients so you know exactly how you can create your desired result. And if that works for you, if that makes sense, if you see that, yes, that's going to make an impact on my life and career, then we talk about how we would work together.
As an executive coach for women, I'm super passionate about helping smart women who hate office politics get promoted and better paid. I do this through my unique combination of, number one, self-directed neuroplasticity tools backed by science. Number two, negotiation strategies proven to work for women by academic research. And number three, intersectional feminist lens that honors women's lived experiences. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching series and to book your free hour-long consultation with me, come on over to jamieleecoach.com/apply. It's jamieleecoach.com/apply. JAMIELEECOACH.com/apply. Talk soon.